Chapter 7. At dinner, the table was uncomfortably quiet. The metal clink of silverware was the only real sound during the meal. Hakeem could see the worry in his parents' faces as they ate. He knew they were thinking about tomorrow. He was, too. Next to them, Savan ate as if the pork chop on his plate was an enemy, stabbing his fork into it in tense silence. Even Charlene and Charmaine were subdued, eyeing everyone nervously as if they sensed that talking was bad. Hakeem considered alerting the family to Savan's plan, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. The idea of another clash with Savan made his head ache with stress. He could not imagine how the two would survive another day, let alone the whole summer or longer. But all that wouldn't matter if Dad's checkup turned out to be bad. Then his whole world would melt away. "Be strong," he told himself, the words seeming hollow and unhelpful. He wished he could see his friends. When Uncle James came home complaining about kids in the neighborhood, Hakeem excused himself from the table. He had to get out. There was only one person he could go to. Hakeem grabbed a phone and dialed the faded number on his palm. The phone rang several times before it was answered.
"Hello?"
Anika said sternly, as if the word itself annoyed her.
"Anika?" Hakeem said. "It's me, Hakeem."
There was a brief pause.
"Oh, Hakeem, I'm sorry. I thought you were someone else," she said.
Hakeem could hear her repositioning the phone.
"What's up? You sound bad."
"Rough day. I was hoping we might do that guitar lesson tonight," Hakeem said, praying she would agree. Anything to get out of the house. Again, Anika was quiet for several seconds. He wondered who she expected. Rasul, he guessed.
"I can't go anywhere now. I'm here with my grandma," she said.
There was another pause.
"But if you want, you can come over."
Hakeem sighed in relief.
"I'll be right there," he said.
Racing back upstairs, he grabbed his guitar and notebook, afraid to leave it with Savan again, and headed out. Seconds later, he walked up the concrete steps to Anika's porch and knocked on the door. Then he heard the click and snap of the door being unlocked.
"Hi, Hakeem,"
Anika said as the door opened. She eyed the street cautiously as she greeted him.
"Come in. My grandma's upstairs sleeping, but it's okay. She can't hear us, not without her hearing aid."
Anika's voice trailed off as she spoke. Hakeem stepped into the front room of the house. It was the same shape and size as his aunt and uncle's living room, though it seemed much older. The air felt slightly musty, and the furniture was worn and faded. A collection of family pictures lined the wall, but most were yellowed with time. One was a black-and-white photo of a man in a military uniform standing proudly in front of the American flag. Near the front door was one picture that looked more recent than the others. It depicted a round-faced woman who appeared to be in her 30s, standing with her arms out. Behind her was the glistening ocean. She had a friendly smile.
"That's my cousin in California, the one who's waiting for me,"
Anika said, locking the front door.
"That beach is not far from her house," she added,
gazing at the picture as if it were some perfect place, a promised land. Hakeem thought the beach in the picture resembled one he and Darcy used to visit before the world turned upside down, before the cancer.
"Reminds me of home,"
he said, old memories flickering and fading in his mind. Anika studied him closely, her almond eyes dark and mysterious. Looking at them, Hakeem could almost forget the last 2 weeks.
"Come with me," she said. "Come with me to California. You know you want to go back home." "Girl, are you serious?" "I gotta get out of here, Hakeem," she confessed. "There's just too much drama here for me right now."
Hakeem nodded at her words. He could see she meant what she said, and he understood. He felt exactly the same way since he left home.
"Is it Rasul?"
he asked bluntly, unable to hide his curiosity.
"I saw him tonight near my uncle's store."
Anika lowered her head and rolled her eyes, confirming his suspicion.
"You don't even want to go there," she said. "Put it this way, the only thing I like around here these days is that guitar of yours."
"And not me?" he teased. Anika laughed slightly, her smile attracting him like a magnet. The time with her was like an oasis from his family.
Maybe just a little, she said, running her fingers through her hair. So when are you going to teach me how to play?
Are you sure you're ready? I require my students to be dedicated, he said, pretending to be serious. She rolled her eyes and gave him a mock scowl.
Okay, sit down, he instructed.
Anika sat on the edge of the faded couch, and Akeem sat beside her, his leg against hers. Putting his notebook down, he took the guitar and placed it gently on her lap so that it rested on her thigh. He suddenly got nervous. He had never been this close to any girl except Darcy.
Now I'm going to position your hands, he explained, trying to stay calm.
Carefully, he reached around her back and took her left hand. His fingers trembled slightly. Her skin was soft and warm, and she watched him curiously as he placed the neck of the guitar against her palm. Then, with his heart racing, he took her other hand and placed it on the face of the guitar in front of her stomach. Sitting so close to Anika, he could smell her hair and feel her breathing. He wanted to kiss her, but he wasn't sure how she'd respond.
To play, you have to hold these fingers down, he said, slowly pressing her fingers against the guitar's neck. And you play the strings like this.
He dragged her hand across the strings, and the guitar sang a jumbled chord. Anika laughed at the sound and leaned back into him. Akeem's heart skipped with excitement, and he laughed with her. Then, as he began to instruct her in a real note, he felt her breath against his neck and realized she was looking at him, not the guitar. Turning toward her, he felt her lips meet his for an instant.
Now you have to teach me a song, she said, turning her attention back to the guitar.
Gradually, he taught her to play a blues chord and then another. After an hour, she could slowly alternate among three simple sound combinations. She seemed thrilled.
See that? You're a natural, Akeem said as she showed off what she learned.
Being with her was better than music, lifting him from his worries and distracting him from the day's pain and frustration. But as the evening wore on, his thoughts returned to the present. He dreaded what tomorrow would bring and the thought of spending the summer in Uncle James's house. Anika seemed to sense his thoughts.
You never answered me before, she said, putting the guitar down, about California. Are you sure you have to leave?
Yeah, I am. When the state puts my grandma in a nursing home, they're going to put me in a foster home for 6 months till I turn 18. I just can't do that, she said sadly.
Just come with me. The two of us could disappear. I got money for your bus ticket, she said, her eyes hopeful and sincere.
For an instant, with her next to him, the idea seemed perfect. But when he thought of his family, he knew he could not abandon them. And then there was school, something Anika seemed to have given up on. Her idea sounded nice, but it was a dream, an escape maybe, but not for him.
I can't leave my family, Anika. Not like that, especially not now. Are you sure there's no one here for you? Not even a friend?
No,
she said firmly, twisting away from him and getting up.
They're the ones I'm trying to get away from.
The thud of a car door outside suddenly startled her. She peered out a window and then turned to him.
It's getting late. You should probably go home before your family starts to worry.
The storminess he had seen in her eyes returned. Akeem stood up, surprised by the sudden change in her mood.
I'm sorry, Anika, he said at the door.
It's okay, she said. Don't worry about it.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay,
she said blankly.
Goodbye.
She locked the door behind him. It was 10:30 when Akeem stepped back in his uncle's house. He knew his sisters and mother would be in bed, but he was surprised to see Uncle James and Dad talking when he entered. They stopped talking and stared at him when he closed the door. Dad's jaws were tight. Akeem knew they had been having a serious talk.
So, Uncle James said unnaturally, raising his eyebrows and forcing a smile. How is Anika this evening?
She's fine, Akeem replied, suddenly feeling as if he was under a spotlight.
That's one pretty girl, Akeem, but she's trouble. Her grandmother's been trying to control her for years, but she runs in a bad crowd, that one. She got busted shoplifting a few times, even when Savon was dating her. He tried to help her, but she even drove him crazy. calling all the time, always needing something. But that was a few years ago. Hopefully she grew out of that, but I wouldn't know because she doesn't talk to us much anymore, Uncle James said.
Hakeem squirmed inside. It felt strange to hear Uncle James talk about Anika, especially considering how little he knew his own son.
She seems fine to me, he said, feeling the need to defend her. She wanted a guitar lesson, so I taught her how to play a few chords.
Mm-hmm. Uncle James raised his eyebrows, nodded, and looked at Hakeem with a devilish grin.
Leave him alone, James, Dad said. Your uncle's just playing with you. I'm glad you found someone here, you know, now that you can't see Darcy.
Hakeem took a deep breath but said nothing. Even though his father meant well, the comment stung. Dad's words made Darcy seem like an old light bulb, something he could just toss away and replace. The truth was that he had broken up with Darcy because he had to move away. Their relationship was another victim of Dad's cancer, something else Hakeem knew he could never mention or complain about, even though it ached like an old wound.
Thanks, Dad, he said finally, trying to hide his sarcasm. Savan upstairs?
Hakeem knew Savan would be there, but he wanted to change the subject.
Yeah, he said he wanted to go to bed early.
You all right, son?
Dad asked as Hakeem reached the steps.
Yeah, I'm just tired, he replied, going up the stairs, hoping Savan was already asleep. Tired of all of you.
Hakeem's jaw dropped as soon as he entered the bedroom. The room was dark, the window was open, and the pillows had been arranged again to look like a sleeping person. But Savan was gone. Hakeem cursed under his breath. He had expected Savan to sneak out again, but not on the very first night of his punishment. Turning on the light, he put his guitar down and walked over to his bed. A sheet of notebook paper was on his pillow. It contained one sentence of handwritten text.
Don't say a word.
Hakeem crumbled the paper and threw it at Savan's desk. He hated being forced to lie to the family, but he didn't feel right telling them the truth. Something about Savan's words haunted him. They were just too desperate.
You already got my parents treating you like the son they wished they had, and now you're going to try to control my life too? I got plans on Friday, and I'm going to keep them. I got to.
He couldn't tell them until he was sure of exactly what Savan was into, and no matter what happened, he would find out tomorrow night. After washing his face and brushing his teeth, Hakeem closed the bedroom door and turned off the light. On his way to bed, he glanced out of Savan's window.
Tomorrow this ends, Savan, he said, scanning the street.
There was no sign of Savan, but next door, a large gray sedan pulled away. It had been parked in front of Anika's house. Hakeem thought he saw someone in the back seat, but in the glare of the street lights, he couldn't tell. The sedan turned at the corner of the street and disappeared. As the hum of its engine faded, the block grew still and quiet. Hakeem stretched out uneasily on his mattress and said a prayer, his mind restless long into the night.